People were asking John the Baptist what to do because they had been looking for the one who would show them more of God. They thought that the Messiah would come and make everything rosy. God had better things in mind. Advent is my favorite liturgical season. It's a gentle one and doesn't make a lot of noise, and it's short. It's only 4 weeks or less. There's not much money that can be made off it, so our culture doesn't acknowledge it at all. Even many Christians are barely aware of it. I suppose you could sell Advent wreaths, but that's not a big business. When I was growing up, we used to have them, well, even after, even in the order, I would grow wheat at Christmas time. Portuguese have a custom of growing little plates of wheat and then putting them around the manger. It's a nice custom. It symbolizes birth and also the Eucharist, the body of Christ. And that's in the Azores. In the mainland, they grow flax. And in Malta, they grow wheat, but they put it in a dark place so that when they bring it out, it's all white. It doesn't have any chlorophyll in it. And as I was thinking about this, you begin to when you get to be my age, you begin to remember things that have just kind of dropped away as the culture and lifestyles change. Here in the Bay Area, the place was pretty rural because there weren't as many houses as there are now, so people had backyards. And many people would have chickens, some of them even rabbits. And so in every town, you had a feed store. And you'd go in, you'd buy pellets for the rabbits or mash for the chickens or wheat. So during Advent, I'd go to the store and get wheat to grow. And the man would ask, "Is this for religious purposes?" And I'd say, "Yes." And so he wouldn't charge. It was a gentle acknowledgement of our faith. And even in the order, I used to do this. I haven't done it lately because it's hard to get a hold of the wheat. But it could grow quite fast, as a matter of fact. But it's just a nice custom to remind us of what a beautiful thing we're working toward. The other day I was reflecting also on people who are born blind. I was thinking about the passage of today, and you know, people who are born blind have no idea what sight is like. They can't imagine it. How would they? You know, same with people who are born deaf. They have no idea. They can see the graft on a screen. They can feel the vibration of sound, but they can't hear. They can't imagine what it's like. And that's what it's like to think about who God is. We can't imagine. Our Lord said that eyes have not seen nor ears heard what He has in store for us in heaven. Well, what He has in store for us in heaven is beholding, becoming aware of the infinite goodness of God, who God is, how attractive. Every good we know has its source in Him. Bishop Sheen used to say, "If this is the spark, what must be the flame?" But we can't imagine the flame. Even through the centuries of the Old Testament, people were exhorted to obey God, to acknowledge Him, to praise Him, but it was a mysterious God they were praying to because they couldn't imagine Him. But they knew when the Messiah came, something would happen, and it did. With the coming of the Messiah, we learned who God is. He came in a way that we could see because He became one of us. He didn't show us His divinity, but He showed us the effects of it. He could work miracles and so on. And the fact that He could love us that much. The other day I was looking at a video of this woman who, when she was a little girl, her parents didn't go to church much. And at one point, she had it with God. She didn't want to bother with God. And so she was kicked out of the brownies because she wouldn't take the oath that mentions God in it. That's how, she's a pretty strong-willed little girl, I must say. But anyway, that was it. And her parents didn't seem to care much one way or the other. It wasn't until she was 17 years old that something happened. And this is a true story, too. She started dreaming of a man on the cross. And she knew the Christian story about, you know, Good Friday and all, but she didn't think this was him. It was very unpleasant, and she didn't like it. But she'd have the same dream every night. It got to the point where she didn't want to go to bed. She'd try to stay up late so she could delay it. But then the next day she'd be so sleepy, you know. So finally she decided that she was going to confront this vision. And so the next night, of course, there he was. And she said, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "I'm doing it for you." And she said, "Well, I never told you to do it." And he said, "I know." And that just went straight to her heart. He was doing this for her. And he didn't have to. Whoever this was, he was doing it for her. She woke up crying and believing in God. And not only that, today, and for quite a few years now, she's been a cloistered Trappist nun in Iowa. This was how God called her to religious life. He calls us all in different ways, and usually not such dramatic ones. But what happened is that she encountered the love of God. She let her guard down. She didn't expect to. But the minute she asked, "Why are you doing this?" And then stating, "I didn't tell you to do it." She wanted to distance herself from it. And he brought her right in when he said, "I know. You didn't make me do this. I'm doing this because I want to." We all have that soft spot in us somewhere, that Achilles heel, where we, despite our selfishness and our sins, we acknowledge his goodness and we let it in. Or we wouldn't be here this morning. That's what we celebrate in Christmas, that God visited us and showed us who he is. And he showed us who he is most on the cross. Christmas is only good because of Good Friday. That's what it's about. And so, as we look forward to celebrating his visitation to this earth, that he would enter into our humanity and show us that he loves us, we prepare for that celebration. We spend this time in Advent acknowledging it. And today, Gaudete Sunday, we rejoice even before the actual feast of Christmas comes. And why do we rejoice so early? Because the good news is that good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.